Blog Talk Radio.
Applewhite. Actually, this is Dr. Applewhite now. I have completed a doctorate in educational psychology, and I am still teaching. However, I am going into different phases of research now, and it required that I return to school and finish an educational doctorate in educational psychology, the type of research I'm doing on behavior, student behavior, mental illness, among students, and a host of other things that go under the title, under the category of rehabilitation. So I am now welcomed into the a community of doctors, of PhDs in that school of thought. And so I am pleased to announce my my new title. And I am so happy to know that there are many, many listeners out there that have been calling in, leaving messages, and waiting for this live broadcast to come on in regards to what the work has been about in school violence and mental illness among students. And, of course, how teachers and students can communicate, can improve their communication skills. But it's more than that, because you see, we're all students and we're all teachers at some time in our life. So, we're talking about the academic realm, but we're also talking about teachers and students from a wider perspective. The student is someone who's willing to learn, and the teacher is someone who's willing to share. So if you fit into these categories, then you are definitely listening to the right show, okay? We have a host of people that are coming on. We need to make sure that the chat line is open today, and the chat line is open. So for those of you who feel more comfortable writing in to me and without disclosing your name or getting on the show live, that's fine. Go right ahead. Today, our show is about, of course, as you can probably see from the title, some of you, that we're talking about healing from violence in our schools. This is a real important issue because of all the things that have been going on in our schools as far as the shootings and the killings, the tragedies, the ongoing trauma that continues in our society. Not just in American society, but throughout the world. this has truly been a shockwave since 2000, what happened at Sandy Hook Elementary School on December 14th, 2012. That has been, I guess, the what my grandmother used to say sometimes, the straw that breaks the camel's back. That has been the ultimate statement to all of us that something has to be done about the violence in our schools. You see, when we talked about the gun violence and any type of violence in our schools prior to even Columbine, we were usually talking about urban situations. Unfortunately, we were talking about schools that were heavily populated with Latino youth and African American youth, minority youth, period. And so those were the reports that were coming in, and unfortunately, not much attention was placed on the shootings and killings at that time, even though they were just as significant as what's going on now. Mothers crying in the streets, vigils being held with candlelights, and all of that was still going on even before Columbine. But now with Columbine happening in 1999, and then a series of other schools that have been affected, many hundreds now, including the major emphasis would be on the Virginia Techs, the University of Arizona. But all of them basically go back to students. It's all involving students. And what happens to us when we think about students is that the first thing that happens is we think about children, okay, even though we know that students can be 50 years old. But still, our mind thinks of innocence, of someone sitting in the classroom and learning and not being aware of anything else going on in their environment pretty much, but just the environment of learning. And so it frightens us as human beings, and this is a worldwide situation. It frightens us to think that someone would actually come in into an environment like that and hurt someone. And so when that happens, it shakes, it sends a shockwave throughout humanity. Now, what happened at Sandy Hook took us even to a deeper level of shock, because this had nothing to do with gangs. It had nothing to do with someone being bullied. It had nothing to do with students that were even cognizant of doing any harm to anyone. They were truly, truly innocent victims sitting in a classroom learning their ABCs just like everybody else. And violence by automatic weapon came into the room and destroyed their lives and the lives of teachers and staff. And for that, we as a nation are definitely having a hard time adjusting to that. And that's why it's important for us to look at healing from the violence in our schools as a topic of discussion for 2013. It's how do we get past that? And part of that has got to be that we know that solutions are being worked on. Remember that our chat line is open, and I want to, before I get into further about the episode this morning, I do want to thank our sponsors at White Apple Institute for helping us put this show together. White Apple Institute is a place for resources for students at all levels, adult students entering college or workforce that need assistance with different types of resources. And White Apple Institute provides those for you. So make sure that if you have someone that is interested in going back to school or staying in school, having trouble with school, especially if they have any kind of mental or physical disability, that they are encouraged to contact whiteappleinstitute.org or call 480-471-8082. All right, back to the show episode information today. So we're talking about healing from both physical and psychological healing. You see, the physical healing, I'm going to kind of combine both of them together so we can get a really good idea of what healing has to take place and how it's going to have to take place in order for us to get through this. So healing, both physical and psychological healing, they're processes of restoring a situation to a balance or functioning state. That's what healing is all about, getting back to balance or getting back to functioning. And so the emotional scars in the healing process are really usually seen or felt long after the traumatic situation or damage is over. So you know how you have those scars. You could probably look back and see those scars from your kindergarten days, and you could see a little mark on your hand. So the scar is still there. But the emotional scar of whatever caused that could be even deeper than that and usually lasts longer, depending on what it is. So repairing or restoring our mental state is far more challenging than fixing the physical wounds. You see, psychological healing from the shootings at schools in urban or suburban or even rural areas, that is a tremendous challenge for any concerned citizen of America and the world, as I mentioned earlier. And for years, the Student-to-Teacher Show, since 2009, has always focused on topics that will help students and teachers to succeed in school and college and prepare successfully for the workforce. Never, in the beginning of the show, did I think that we would be overwhelmed by the psychological impact of violence. In other words, the random shooting in our school. I didn't expect it to hinder success, but it has. It's hindered success of our teachers being reluctant, truly apprehensive, to get into the teaching field or stay into the teaching field. And students feeling uncomfortable to go to school. And this is related to the violence. The violence that we're all becoming much more aware of in this past year than at any other time in our history. The innocent lives lost shooting from Sandy Hook Elementary School to Columbine to Virginia Tech and so many other schools, whether it was by an automatic weapon, my friend, or a single-shot handgun, or whether it's a knife or whatever, it's a tragedy for any life to be lost, especially an innocent life. But I know that there's a lot of controversy out there going on about gun control and what's happening, and it's confusing for all of us. Unfortunately, the tragedy of lost lives is also worsened, oh boy, by those who choose to imply this, that there's conspiracies that took place for even the Sandy Hook Elementary School incident and other tragedies that have happened in the past, that there's some kind of conspiracy going on. So that even adds to or hinders the healing process even more for us. And then, of course, minimizing the importance of having clear conversations, objective conversations to seek solutions. We're finding that people are not willing to talk objectively about how to seek solutions. If there's not an NRA person, and all respect to NRA, I believe and I truly support the fact that everyone has the right to bear arms. I am not in any way advocating that that's not true. I'm just asking, what types of arms do you need to bear? And what kinds of educational things do you have in place? What kinds of guidelines do we have to follow? And can we sit down and have objective conversations to seek solutions? And it doesn't help us with our healing process when we know that there's been an increase of even more gun sales, that there's been an increase in discussions about having more guns on school campuses. So we ask that you join us this morning and discuss ways that we can help ourselves and help our nation and help people all over the world with the healing process from the violence in our schools. If you're not able to stay for the full broadcast, or if you'd like to share this later with someone else, remember that it's archived, and so you can go back into the Blog Talk Radio website at blogtalkradio.com//student-to-teacher, and you can actually listen to the archive show with others and share this information with them. We're going to welcome some more callers that have called in this morning. And just to get an idea of whether or not they have something to say, good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite. The 438. 438 number. Did you wish to speak this morning? Good morning. The 438 number. Okay, we'll move on now. There's another number here. It's in Arizona, the 623 number, 387. Did you wish to speak? Good morning. Did you wish to speak this morning? All right. Well, we'll continue on with our broadcast this morning. We'll look at our chat line and make sure that there's no one else that's trying to get through on our chat. And if you are, I will definitely acknowledge you. Oh, thank you very much. All right, we just have a guest that's saying thank you for bringing the show to our attention, and we appreciate you saying that. We want to continue doing bringing this show to the nation, to the world, and your donations are accepted at whiteappleinstitute.org. If you go into the actual site, there is a donate button, and you can actually donate to help keep the show going. Is there anyone there now that would like to speak? Okay. We have another caller at an 824 number. Good morning,
yeah,
Dr. Applewhite.
Yeah, Tom Baker. Hello.
Oh, good morning, Tom. Good morning, Tom.
How you doing?
Thank you for calling in. Very good. Very good. It's been a while since then.
I was going to say one of the things that needs to change is our attitude about mental illness, because in this country, it doesn't get treated like it should. It doesn't get treated as a physical illness, which it is. It just is a physical illness that affects the mind. And I think if they treated it better and it was more accepted, that we wouldn't have things like this happen as often. Because people, rather than seeking help, tend to be ashamed of their illness.
Yes, and that's even happening even more so with the violence that we're seeing in our schools now, that a lot of it is being blamed, unfortunately. A lot of fingers are being pointed at those with mental illness, those diagnosed with mental illness. And that I'm hoping that it will not do this, but it can actually set us back 20, 30 years in trying to accomplish the goal of having people respect the fact that mental illness is just as critical to recognize, to understand, as physical illness. So I thank you for bringing that to the forefront. That is a very, very important fact. And we have to do more to understand it, but we also have to realize that there are many people who still have stereotypes, horrible stigmas about mental illness. And so when we're talking about many of the people who come up and start shooting people inside schools or inside theaters or whatever, and they're diagnosed with mental illness, then what's happening is that people that have that stigma, that negative stereotype, are becoming even more fearful. And so it feeds into this negative energy, and certainly going to hurt us if we don't stop. Anyone else have a comment? Okay. So we
Dr.
do want... Yes, go ahead.
Hi, this is Rose, and okay. The thing about the negative feedback or whatever, it's in every situation of this subject. And I would say 20 years ago, I was fighting the gun issue and the mental illness issue as far as no funding for our children in mental illness. No kind of money put into these schools to keep them safe. We always bowed down to the NRA. There were some great politicians back 20 years ago that were really fighting this, but the NRA was more powerful. So anything, any bright ideas to stop the violence within the schools was put to the side and never thought of, never even made it to be voted on. So what I have to say is we're in 2013, 20 years later, and it's the same situation, and we're saying the same thing. We're saying we got to do something. We got to fight this. We got to do. And until people put aside their stereotypes, until they start realizing that children's lives or anybody's life is more powerful and more a treasure to us than a piece of metal, we're going to continue the same situation, same as the drugs coming in this country. We talk about it, we talk about it, but nothing has, and now it's out of control. I don't even know if you can fix it. Because there still is stereotyping. There still is, you see, when President Obama said, okay, we're going to talk about gun control, everybody and his brother bought every bullet ever made. Yes. I mean, it scared them half to death. Let me get all the guns. Let me get all the ammunition.
Right.
And that's frightening. That's scary. Oh, my God, we got all these Americans with all these guns and, you know, and we're not thinking about a Sandy Hook. We are not thinking about a movie theater. We're thinking about, I got to get the gun.
Right. And in a way, whatever I have to do. Right.
So I'm not sure I know the answer because, like I said, 20 years ago, I saw some great things happening, but they never went anywhere. And here we are 20 years later doing the same thing.
Rose, I just want to acknowledge you for calling in this morning. Rose, you've been a very big supporter of White Apple Institute, part of the advisory staff for many, many years. You're responsible for putting together a very beautiful website for whiteappleinstitute.org. If anyone's interested in contacting Rose for website design, make sure you contact her from our website. We appreciate your input, and we also acknowledge the fact that when we worked together, 21 or so years ago, part of the programs that we worked on were about anti-drug, anti-gang activity, violence in our schools at that point. And you had lost a son to gang violence. And I believe it was shooting. It was a shooting at that time, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. Was it an automatic weapon, if that makes any difference?
It wasn't an assault weapon. It was a pistol. Thank God it wasn't an assault weapon, because that's another issue. I cannot believe we are selling weapons that will totally disintegrate our bodies. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, it just blows us up. Why do we? That is murder, intended murder. If you pick up an assault weapon and go after somebody, I mean, it isn't for harm. It isn't for a warning. It is for murder.
Yes.
And so
that
anyway,
is absolutely true.
It was a pistol.
I believe and I hope that with what we're doing with our healing and the new book that I am putting together will hopefully bring a positive atmosphere around us to believe that healing can take place. It is going to be quite a job. I agree with that. But I believe, and I this is just because I'm an optimist, okay? I believe that there is a possibility that we can heal from this, but there are steps that we have to take in order for that to happen. Hold your thought for a minute. We have a caller coming in, I believe, from a San Francisco number. Good morning, 209. This is Dr.
Applewhite. Good morning, Dr. Applewhite.
Good morning. Morning. It sounds like one of our board members.
Yes, this is Kim. And
Kim,
I'm happy
to be on
the show this morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Morning.
I think you've heard a little bit about what we've been talking about the healing from violence in our schools, and it's both physical and psychological healing that we're talking about. But the physical healing we can get through, the psychological healing and what's happening with people around the world or around the United States, because of all of the stuff that's happening as an aftermath of Sandy Hook and other tragedies is making it so much harder, more challenging for us to heal from the violence. We just can't forget them. We can't forget the innocent lives, can we?
Mm-mm. Nope. I don't believe so.
So how do you feel that we can start healing? Do you feel that there's a possibility that we can heal as humanity from this?
Are you asking me, Dr. Applewhite?
Yes.
Well, honestly, I think that we can heal from it. You know, the guns is just a personal choice. And I remember one day we had a really good conversation about choice, you know, and people forget about the choices that we're really making and the consequences after the choice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when Obama's making these decisions about we need control, well, we really do, because if America wants to stay free and wants to continue to have that type of choice and not
mm-hmm.
become what we see in other countries, then people have to sit down at the table and start to have discussions, you know,
right.
about mental health. And many people don't discuss mental health. And, you know, I pray for all the moms who have lost sons and daughters to the violence, and commend the people who continue to stand up to talk about it. Because
mm-hmm.
one thing about America is the day that we had that president talking, we had people buying guns, and they were not listening.
Amen.
Again, going into choice.
Mm-hmm.
You had a choice to sit and just listen. Because in other countries, what we see right now is sheer panic. No one is listening.
Mm-hmm.
No one is making the right choices. And mental health is exhibiting itself at its fullest.
Yes.
So, you know, when we want to escape mental health, you know, we can talk about guns, but mental health and drugs. I love one of the shows, the past shows you did about the drugs of the mind,
yes.
and the new drug.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to talk radio quite a bit, and we're
yes.
listening to quite a few foreigners talk about mental health now. And
mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, gosh, I hope they're listening to, you know, White Apple Institute and the show that we have on the radio and what we're really
mm-hmm.
talking about. Because now it's surfacing itself, and this is a great time. It's sad in a way, but it's a great
mm-hmm.
time for us to be able to listen to one another and make the right choices.
Thank you very much for that, and I hope that we're going to try to take enough time to get all of the callers. We have another caller that has been hanging on for quite a while now. We're going to try to take her in, and I know there's other people that have things that they want to say and suggest about our healing from violence in our schools. We have a 309 number coming in. Hello? Good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite. Good morning. 309? Hello, Cueto, 309? Are you there? Oh, good morning. Good morning.
Hi.
All right. Hi. Are you a parent yourself?
No, I'm just...
Your parent?
You know, yeah.
Pardon me? Are you a parent?
Yes.
Okay. Are you calling in? What is your name?
Nikki Amy.
Okay. Thank you, Nikki, for calling in this morning. Did you have anything you wanted to share about, do you believe that we can heal from violence in our schools, the violence that's been going on? Do you believe that healing is possible?
Yes, I believe it's possible.
Well, thank you for your optimism. I appreciate that. Why are you so optimistic about it? I mean, you know, there are a lot of people that feel that our country is going downhill and our world is going downhill. And here you are. You sound like you're a young person, a young parent.
Mm-hmm.
And you're
so
optimistic.
Yes, I am. So, I'm kind
well,
of worried about the school system and all that stuff like that because, you know, all that games and stuff like that kids bring to school and stuff like that. So.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe
well, thank you
can.
You very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. If you have anything else to say, just feel free to jump on. Anybody else have anything? How about this 438? Rose, are you still there?
Yes.
Yes, I'm still.
Go right ahead.
Apple, I would just
yes.
like to chime in about the healing part because I think maybe I
uh-huh.
didn't say something about that. I am totally
right.
for the healing, not just for America, but for the world, you
yes.
know, and America is the number one country that everyone wants to see healed. And I hope
yes.
everyone understood that. We need the healing to really start here. Because if we can do it one by one, it'll make a difference, not just on Sunday when we go to church. you know, in America. That's a big day for a lot of people. But I think the healing is every day when we're in our offices, when we walk past each other in the grocery store, when mm-hmm. we're at the movie theaters. That's where the healing starts. You know, just sometimes to be able to have a friendly conversation, not the sheer panic that the world is going to end, because I don't feel the world is going to end no time soon. There is things mm-hmm. that we will deal with on the earth, and that season is here. But it's also a season to help us be able to heal and find that way to heal, make an effort.
Truly, I believe that God is the only one that really can pull that, to make that happen. God is the only one that knows the time and the place. And so from this day forward, we need to make up our minds that we are going to do the best we can to be the best humans that we can be, to be to do the best we can to follow spiritual pathways and to learn how to love each other. When we talk about physical healing and psychological healing or spiritual healing, you know, it's really the same thing as when you get a wound and you look at its healing. I mean, the wound has to clot. It protect itself, protect the wound from bacteria. You follow me? It has to be inflamed to kill bacteria and release the tension and anger. That's the same thing that we're doing from a psychological standpoint, when we become inflamed after we've been wounded psychologically, we have to start crying to release tension. That's part of getting rid of, reducing the inflammation, the same thing we do when we have a physical wound. We start building. Go ahead.
Sometimes our wounds get too inflamed and infected, and we die. There is nothing that can cure it.
That's right. That's right.
I'm saying, I think it's first of all, I think it's going to take God as the head, and we have to go to him for direction, and we have to go for him for guidance, and we have forgotten that in America. We're doing our own thing, we're doing it in our own power, and it isn't working. And so I think we have to put God in the head. Then we have to have some type of love or concern for each other, that we don't want 20 children murdered in a school, or how many in a theater, or that it makes us literally and physically ill, that we would rise up with the help of God and change this. But we have too many people that are mad, too many people that are hurting. And I'm not talking about mental illness. I'm talking about losing jobs and don't have any money. And, you know, I mean, all these things, illnesses, and it's, you know,
and we need, good point that you're bringing out, because what we need to understand is that mental illness as a whole, depending on the severity of it, you know, when we're talking about mental illness from the standpoint of many of the shooters that we've come across, their profile, we're talking about severe mental illness. But even when we're talking about losing a job, there's issues of depression and anxiety that can take place. Okay, so everyone has a tendency or a possibility of leaning towards mental illness. And so I think that's what becomes the scary part, as Tom was bringing out earlier, that we need to recognize and be a little bit more sensitive about the way we throw that word around. Because, you know, even with what happened with this last gentleman that killed the children at Sandy Hook, and they said he had the autism or Asperger's syndrome. You know, that sent so many signals up to people that, oh, my God, does that mean my son or my daughter that has Asperger's syndrome could be subject to one day becoming a shooter? Or are people going to think that about my child? So it really is very serious.
That's where I think that those people are concerned, is that everybody will stereotype their very own child. The world will stereotype them to be that young man that killed the 20 kids. And and how do we eliminate that fear for those parents when America has now the majority of pointed fingers and say, oh, my God, you know, these are the children that are going to kill everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Apple, can I chime in if you don't mind?
Yes.
Rose, I
go
would just
ahead.
Like to say for that again, I think it would go back to what I initially said when I came in onto this conversation. It really is about people making the choice to educate themselves. Because the more issues that we begin to have, you begin to hear now the foreigners who are fighting. They're talking about mental health where they've never spoke about it before. You
right.
know, so and it's imperative that people know. Each of the shooters, they have looked at the fact that mental health has been an issue with these guys, not just guns. No one would have really cared. You know, they just start talking about guns a lot, but mental health was the issue for all the shooters, including the shooter here in Arizona, that shot, you know, the lady, I believe that was a senator. I hope I'm not incorrect.
Representative Gifford, yes. And he was a student
right.
also, yes. And we have a lot of, yes, we have a lot of issues. We have shows coming up to discuss, and we have a show in our archive that discusses school policy and why a lot of people are they're very concerned about why the information is not being shared openly. Let me remind people that we do this as a group show, and please be conscious of the fact that background noise is an issue. So we want you to please mute your phones if you have background noise going on. So I keep
I have
mind
a comment
open.
When you guys get around to me. I'm the 323 call.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Your
Hello?
Name is? Yes.
This is Dean. I'll make it quick. I know you guys got it time-wise. I was going to bring it to the conversation about vaccines, you know, because a lot of stuff that they're putting in these vaccines have side effects. And I think, you know, we have to look at chemical imbalance as well as what's had that real conversation. I know pharmaceuticals don't want to have that conversation because they get a profit, you know, when hospitals buy these medicines from them. But they are having side effects now. And another thing I wanted to put out from a psychologist standpoint is that, you know, depression and post-traumatic stress disorder, you are actually producing the drug and releasing the drug in your own system. So you're not on no illegal substance or you're not on no prescription medicine. You are producing toxic stuff in your own body from just holding stuff inside of you, you know, stuff like that. And we already know, like, how we create stuff to make us have high blood pressure and all that. But we also release toxins and different hormones in our bodies, you know, not just to sexually excite ourselves, but also to make us, you know, criminals. You know, also, you're just snapping. And you say, why did they just snap? Were they on drugs? They were on that drug from depression, and it released a chemical in their system. Like, you know, you know about the other drug we released, like it makes you fight or flight. But just imagine if that drug never gets turned off after 5 minutes, and you still got that thing being released in your system. What are you going to do with all that extra energy? It's almost like you're on drugs, and you're going to go out and do something. So I'm saying we need to have a discussion about what are you producing.
Let me ask you this in all of in our discussion today, because there's so many things that we can bring out. The healing part of it is what we're trying to focus on today, and healing from the drugs that we have, the foods that we eat. That's a beautiful discussion to have. But what I'm trying to focus on today is whether or not we can be optimistic enough to think about healing from the violence that has happened already, the healing from the fact that the stereotypes are out there about mental illness, healing from the fact that many of us are scared and feel that we have to increase the amount of arms that we have to have, the amount of weapons that we have to have in our own homes. How are we going to move to a place where we can truly begin to start healing? And I think we're doing it just in having this discussion.
And get rid of the taboo of going to a therapist, because like I was thinking about that chemicals being released. If you just talk to somebody, that could turn that stuff off inside of you. That could like plug up those chemicals being released if you just talk to somebody like they're talking to you right now. So, get rid of the taboo of talking to therapists. You know, I keep it in my business in my house. I keep my business in my church. I keep my business whatever. But if you just get rid of that taboo and talk to somebody, you can heal yourself. You can begin the healing by just the conversation.
Very, very good point. Thank you so much. Are you in the field of psychology yourself?
Well, I'm in school now, so it's kind of it's bootleg right now. I don't have a degree.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying. But
well, that's wonderful.
You know,
that's wonderful. Well, thank you for joining us.
I just want to bring that into the conversation.
Hello, wonderful. We appreciate that very much. James, your name is. Yes. You believe that there is healing, that healing is possible. As Ms. Owens was bringing out just a moment ago from San Francisco area, that the healing is possible. You see that?
Most definitely. In conversation,
okay.
It's definitely the beginning of it. I mean, you can do a physical,
right,
a thought can become a thing. I believe
that's right. Understanding that the healing process, and in healing, and this is from anything, when you go back in from biblical times, whether you're using the Bible, the Quran, or any type of historical literature that takes you back from the history of God, we can see that healing has always been a process that requires that God has to have intervention. I believe that's what Rose was trying to say. Right, Rose?
Right.
Is that you have to put, you have, God has to go first in our conversation.
But can
and
I?
Part of healing. Go ahead.
The thing about choices, and we used to have a curriculum in the nonprofit I ran on consequences of making.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, we missed that. Go ahead, say that again, please.
Who, me?
Sorry. We missed that. Okay.
You have to teach children how to make good choices and that there are consequences for their choices. If you decide to go and get a legal job, the consequence is a paycheck, no jail, no courts, you know. But if you decide your choice is to make money by selling drugs, you may be killed, you may go to jail, whatever. So we have to teach those consequences. I don't know that humans grow up and say, man, I do good choices. Because we see people who have not. So choices are something that this world needs to, I believe in choices. I believe that there needs to be good ones, but I think that we have to teach it and the consequences behind our choices. So therefore, we all have to get on the same bandwagon and do that for our children's sake.
Yes.
I worked with gang members too long to see that they don't make good choices. And it's from their environment. It is what peer challenges that, you know, my buddy next door is robbing houses, so I'm going to join him. But we as the adult, and we as the adult that want change, and we want it better for our kids, and we want to, I think we have to teach how to make choices, the good ones. I think it's our responsibility.
Yes. And, you know, in addition to that, and I do want to recognize that we have an absolutely wonderful guest that has joined us, and I definitely want to give him time to speak. Nazim Rashid is on the line calling in, and he is the mentor man and author of Reconnected. And what I want to do is definitely have some time for him to give some feedback about all the things that we've talked about. I also want to acknowledge on our chat line that we have a liberal Democrat person who is actually talking about the fact that we need to hold psychologists and teachers accountable, and this is true. But we also have to make sure that as we hold parents and teachers accountable, that we have to also hold parents very, very accountable for what is happening, and we have to be accountable ourselves for our healing. Remember that this is the focus today, is that in order for us to heal, we have to start with ourselves, and then we have to start with our families. So without further ado, I'd like to bring on Nazim Rashid. Nazim, are you there?
Yes, I am here. How are you doing this
morning? Good morning. Very good, sir.
Good morning. I just wanted to give a little aspect of the whole idea of violence on campus. As long as we give attention to the violence and the guns, we're going to have more violence than guns. There are a lot of kids who are on campuses that are doing wonderful. They're involved in groups that are about peace making, peace promoting. They are religious and non-religious groups that are about positive peer pressure to make sure that one another does do well in school. They help one another, they tutor, they peer counsel one another. They're doing a great job, and their kids, even in these past shooting, that survived. That examples for other kids, you know, so they have great attitudes. So if we don't give attention to the positive aspects, what happens? The positive aspects go down, and violence aspects go up. We got to put the light on what is good, and when we do that, that increases, and that by itself will take care of the darkness that we're talking about.
Yeah. And, you know, that's so important, and that's why I'm so glad to hear you say that, because that reinforces the fact that the optimism that we're trying to put forth on this show, on the Student Teacher Show, about healing. We can heal from this violence in our schools. We can go on. Even though there are going to be more incidents happening, these things are going to happen. But how do we address it on a day-to-day basis and really begin an ongoing healing process? From a personal standpoint, and as a community, as a worldwide community. Anything else you want to say on that point?
Well, first of all, as far as healing is concerned, we have to heal. That is correct. We have to do that. We have to help those who are not doing well and who have suffered a lot. Yes, we have to do a lot for them and show them another way to live instead of being possessed, I would say, or lack of a better term, in a depression. There's another way to live life, but depression does not have to be their best friend. And too many times when you actually go into the depths of darkness, as a lot of folks have behind tragedies, they suffer from depression, and they become that becomes them. You see, so there's another way to live life, another way to move on, another way to honor health and wellness, another way to make it. It's like people who lose their limbs. You know, become great examples for other people. We got the Paralympians, you know, who are doing a great job in the Olympics last year. They could have been in a corner and depressed and self-sabotaging lives and committed suicide. They said no. They're going to be an example for others because they got other skills and they're going to live. They're going to thrive and be an example for others. And that's what we need to focus on. Those who have suffered. You know, help them be examples for others who just lost their way. We need to focus on the positive and the strong, and focus on that, and then we'll get more of that. That's very important.
And you know, it does hurt. It does hurt. Okay. I hope that our listeners out there understand we are not in any way implying that healing means that we forget the innocent lives. That healing means that we forget the pain, because it's there. There's no way to deny that. But there is a way, just like you were talking about the Olympics, the athletes, there is a way to overcome it and keep on going, even though you do have these challenges.
Right.
So we hope that kind of motivation, that kind of encouragement will continue for all of us. Even though we hear all the confusion that's going on with the gun control issues, all of the confusion about people coming up and saying that conspiracies happening, all of the confusion that's happening around this whole thing with Sandy Hook, and from Columbine to Sandy Hook, to Virginia Tech, all of it. We're not trying to ignore the healing, the trauma. We're just trying to say that we believe that there's a possibility of healing. Did you have something else, Rose, that you wanted to add into that?
I totally agree in the positive aspect of this, because that's the only thing. Nothing else has worked.
Hello? Did we lose
you?
Hello? Okay. I think we lost you. Hello? Okay, we'll continue on here. But the bottom line is in all of this, and we've lost a few people, and I'm so sorry if we can't get to everyone. We try our best, but the show is really beginning to grow, and as we're growing, we're seeing that people are really becoming more interested in what's going on from the perspective of the Student to Teacher Show, and that everyone has something to share, and all of us have something to learn. And you know, when we think about what Nazim Rashid was saying just a moment ago. And I want to begin closing the show with these kinds of thoughts, that we need to focus on the good. And when we focus on the good, as Nassim has said, the good increases. okay? So as a nation, as human beings in the world, we want to make sure that we continue to focus on the good things that are happening. There's a lot of good things that are happening out there in our world. So let's not forget that, even though we do not, absolutely do not want to forget the traumas that have gone on. Go ahead, someone.
No gas in the rain.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jim. You had something else? All right. And I have to also acknowledge that Ms. Owens had something that she wanted to say there. Go ahead, Ms. Owens.
I think I got cut off. Hello?
Yes, uh-huh.
Oh, I just wanted to say each one that reaches one, each one that mm-hmm. teaches one can reach one.
Yes.
Keep on reaching one.
Right.
Amen.
That's right. And so let's continue that. Let's continue with this. The thought. Pass the word around that healing can take place. That even after, even though we recognize that emotional scars are there, and that the healing process from emotional scars is definitely longer, and sometimes it just lasts forever, but that we can overcome it by focusing on the good things that are happening. Remember that there are people out there, just like what we're doing right now in the show this morning. There are people out there that are willing to talk and willing to discuss ways of helping our nation to heal, of objectively speaking about gun control and mental illness. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Anybody else have another thing in closing? We have a few minutes left on the show.
Well, I was just going to add something that I saw on a TV cop show once, which was that the guns that are not automatic weapons can easily be converted to automatic weapons that take a lot of clips and that are easily convertible that way, as well as the process.
Mm-hmm. Hello? Continue.
Hello?
Okay. Continue with that thought.
Well,
okay.
I was just going to say that I've pretty much already said it, that this gun can be converted to automatic weapons very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And different clips can be put in it and stuff.
Okay, but the bottom line today is that we're closing with 7 minutes left in the show, is that we can talk about gun control, and we can talk about mental illness, and we can talk about conspiracies and people saying that, the NRA saying that, you know, you're trying to take away my guns, and we can get into all of these discussions, and you can turn on the television set and see this constantly, all day long. But the bottom line is this, is that if we don't come to a realization that God is love, and that is the only way that we're going to start the healing process. And by healing, we can open up new avenues for different programs to take place. We can really start planning and developing things that are going to work, following the guidance of President Obama. Whether you agree with any of the other policies, you have to agree to the fact that he is at least trying, he's putting something out there on the table that's saying at least we have to acknowledge that there are different variables that we need to look at in discussing violence in our schools, you know. And so it's not just one thing. It's a number of things. I think that when you even just get into the gun control issue and healing from what's going on with the gun control and all the arguments that are taking place from there, we can only say one thing. We know that people have had guns forever, since the beginning of guns being developed. And all of these shootings have always taken place. But shootings where multiple people are dying, that's what we need to look at. Is that truly necessary? And we can't ask people to heal from the violence if we're still discussing putting more automatic weapons in the hands of teachers or putting more people on campus with automatic weapons to fight other people with automatic weapons.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, that makes
I don't see
sense
that as an answer.
Me.
Go right ahead. I ask again that so that I don't have to mute
please
everyone out on our group conversation, that we are cognizant of the fact that we need to mute our phones if we have outside interference going on. So I try to keep this as a group call. Okay, Ms. Andrea, something you wanted to add?
No, that's
no.
It, Ethel. It's a great show, and
okay.
You all have a wonderful day.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you.
In our in our closing today, I also wanted to bring out something that's very important. When we're talking about, the healing process, and I kind of associated that with physical healing and how the clotting mechanism and the maturation of the cells, where our cells mature, and all of those things. When we're talking about psychological healing, it's the same process that we're going through. A great woman some time ago wrote about the steps of healing from grieving from when somebody dies, and talked about a number of things like denial, that the first stages of healing and of getting through grief is to recognize that we all are going to go through denying that, oh, my God, this really couldn't happen. Okay, and that first state, there's a lot of anxiety. And so I encourage you to acknowledge your anxiety, acknowledge that there is a sense of denial, of saying, I don't even want to listen to the student-to-teacher show today. I don't want to listen to the news. I don't want to listen to anything about what's going on, about these children being shot, about anybody being shot. Okay, but we have to recognize that's part of the steps of healing. We need to be able to recognize that it's okay to express our anger. It's okay to ask if God can help us to get through this. It's okay to feel a little depressed about what's going on. And hopefully that when we look at self-medicating, that we don't go too far out of balance with taking things that are going to harm us, because we're trying to avoid feeling too depressed. Again, let the good thoughts override the thoughts that are very, very destructive. Allow yourself to grieve. Allow yourself to think of the survivors and help the people that are trying to get through. And most of all, accept. Accept yourself. That's very, very important. So I ask now that all of you, in some way and somehow, that you prepare yourselves in the future for the fact that we are going to be able, there's a lot of background noise going on. I'm going to have to shut down everyone for just a moment so that we can close the show out adequately, okay, without a lot of frustration here. And just want to make sure that all of you understand that we do truly appreciate your input this morning. And the closing remark that I would like to share from some of the people that have been on our chat have been that parents need to be parents. Teachers need to be teachers, not friends. We appreciate you saying that, Liberal Democrat. And that if we all are together on this healing issue, that we're going to reach out and touch each other this week and talk to people about, let's heal together. Let's talk about the positive aspects. Where can we take what happened at Sandy Hook and other places? And remember, since Sandy Hook school in December 2012, there have been a number of other deaths that have occurred, other tragedies that have occurred since then. So for everything that we've got, for everything inside of us, from our spiritual selves, please reach out and touch another person this week and discuss the healing. We close our show thanking all of you so much for being part of this morning and hoping that this has been a great help to you. And we close our show asking that Wes Ricks joins us Nazim Rashid in River Nile to close our show today. His album is available on Amazon. And we thank you. God bless all of you for joining the Student to Teacher Show today. This is Dr. Applewhite signing off.